good to have you back. Well, as I said, the week started off people debating a variety of topics after these shootings. Clarence Dubnyk talking about the responsibility of those on radio and cable TV. We've talked about this on the show many times before. Responsibility of people behind the mic. What you say matters. Well, I knew Rush Limbaugh was going to bring up the fairness doctrine. In fact, just yesterday, for those of you who heard the show, I said he would do that. And he has. I'm going to play a clip, and we're going to be taking calls. And we welcome back a great guest on the show, Brad Friedman. He is the journalist, the brave, determined journalist where integrity counts, voter integrity counts, media integrity counts. He has the website, bradblog.com. But let me let you listen to Rush. Yesterday's show, here you go.
Wouldn't be surprised if somebody in the Obama administration or some FCC bureaucrat or some Democrat congressman hasn't already written up such legislation is sitting in a desk drawer somewhere just waiting for the right event for a clapdown. They have been trying this ever since the Oklahoma City bombing. You know that they were rubbing hands together. You know that they were emailing and calling each other on the phone saying, aha, this might be the one. This might be the one where we can officially tie it to these guys and shut them up and shut them down.
Now, he didn't use the word fairness doctrine, but you know anyone who's followed Rush and anybody on the hard right, that's one of the favorite topics they love to bring up when anything like this happens. Brad Friedman, I welcome you back to the show, and I'd love to get your take on this and everything.
Hey, Alan, great to be here.
Thank you.
Well, I'll tell you, I hadn't heard that clip previously. I wish that Rush was correct there. I suspect he's not. I wish there were Democrats rubbing their hands together, you know, preparing to look at the fairness doctrine. But I suspect they won't. Now, he likes to term the fairness doctrine as, you know, shutting us down. That is, of course, complete and utter nonsense. The fact of the matter is, in talk radio, 91% of talk radio programs are right-wing Republican shows. Now, what you have to keep in mind is that that is on our public airwaves. And there was a reason that for about 60 years the FCC regulated those airwaves to assure that they, you know, the people who held the broadcast licenses did so in the public trust. Two things then happened. In 1988, Ronald Reagan dissolved the Fairness Doctrine, which used to require that all sides, or at least both sides, be heard on the on our public airwaves. And then in 1996, Bill Clinton's Telecommunications Act, which allowed a very small handful of corporations to essentially buy up all of our public airwaves and put on essentially only one type of programming. As I say, 91% of it, right-wing radio. And I have long argued, and had been arguing long before Saturday, certainly, that this needs to be looked at, because I would put the imbalance and unfairness and lack of competition that occurs on our public airwaves at the forefront of, geez, so many of the problems that this country is now facing.
I have so many thoughts, so many things I want to respond to. First of all, it's interesting. You know, I feel on this show that I don't need the fairness doctrine, because part of my whole mission statement is to hear all sides of the story. And I naturally do. I have people on I disagree with all the time. In fact, I go out of my way to have people I disagree with. But most people in broadcasting, you know, we assume because somebody sounds good, they have that authoritative voice, they have radio skill and talent, that they're necessarily good people are telling you the truth. And they're not. Some are, obviously. And let me just play another clip here. We're going to play a lot of clips, because going on what you're saying today, there's a talk show host who used to call himself conservative, Michael Schmokanish. And he is agreeing with me that there are those behind the mic that are not responsible. This is from his show today.
I think I can draw a causal connection to Joe Wilson. interrupting a State of the Union address by shouting at the President of the United States, "You lie." Similarly appalling. I can draw a causal connection between those two, each a knucklehead, in my view, when they did what they did, and talk radio and cable television. They've been prepped well by microphones like the one I'm staring at right now. They've been prepped by this industry, which established Washington's increasingly rabid tone. They encourage politicians to treat their colleagues like their enemies, bickering back and forth on a split screen. Michael Bloomberg, the mayor of New York City, was right when he said that bloggers and partisan pundits feed a 24-hour news cycle that values conflict over consensus and rewards people at the extremes who scream the loudest. So that's where I'm coming from. The status quo gets rewarded with ratings because they're driven by a small number of people who are passionate, not universal appeal.
He's right. He's absolutely right. Go ahead, comment, Brett.
Yeah, he is absolutely right, and I'm delighted to hear it from him because, in fact, he is, you know, a strong Republican supporter. He has been. And he is really one of the very few voices out there that you will hear saying what he just said. You, Alan, are another who will, you know, go the extra mile to bring in all voices for discussion. That's important for folks like you. As you said, you don't necessarily need the fairness doctrine. Unfortunately, that's not the case for, you know, some 90% or so of what we hear on the radio, on talk radio. And I have this, this discussion, this battle, if you will, with even progressive friends of mine, progressive folks, even in radio. And a lot of them will make the argument that, well, you know, we don't need the fairness doctrine. We don't need to review the Telecommunications Act because, well, we've got the internet now and there's, you know, everybody's voices can be heard. Well, that is not true. The fact of the matter is that radio still has the greatest penetration of any media, whether it's print, broadcast, internet. Radio still reaches 90% of Americans each week, and I would argue that so much of what you hear, so much of the, frankly, the lies that are out there, you know, there are death panels in the health care bill. No, there was never death panels in the health care bill.
Mm-hmm.
Barack Obama is not American. All of these things, you know, this is fed on a 24/7 basis around the clock on radio when folks are going to and from work, sitting in traffic. You know, this stuff is what gets heard. And there is a reason why we've got a nation of folks who are just utterly and completely misinformed and disinformed, you know, who think that their taxes have gone up, who had no idea that they had a tax cut.
I know. That's the fun, that's the part that gets me. People think they paid more in taxes. They actually paid less.
They paid less. And this happened April 1, 2009. 85% of Americans' taxes went down. And they had no idea. You still had folks running around on the radio, on Fox News, and everywhere else, you know, yelling that the tax and spend Democrats, they're raising your taxes. You know, one thing after another. Same thing with health care. Same thing with the stimulus. And, you know, the stimulus was a failure. Well, no, it wasn't. And, you know, this is not my opinion. This is the opinion of, you know, thousands of economists out there. Same thing on issues of climate change and global warming. Yes, there is a consensus by 97% of thousands and thousands and thousands of scientists who have looked at these issues for decades. And yet, you got this notion out there by a great, perhaps even a majority of the public, who believes that global warming is a hoax. This is damned dangerous stuff. This is the same sort of stuff that has sent us into wars, not just in recent years, but, you know, in years past. And it's just getting worse, and something, I would argue, does need to be done.
It's Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com, BradBlog.com. 866-482-1011 is our number. We'll take calls shortly, 866-482-1011. About the shooting this past weekend, and Clarence Dubnyk, his comments really starting the national debate. Let me play one of those comments that we've been talking about
here. I think it's time as a country that we need to do a little soul searching, because I think it's the vitriolic rhetoric that we hear day in and day out from people in the radio business and some people in the TV business, and what we see on TV and how our youngsters are being raised, that this has not become the nice United States of America that most of us grew up in. And I think it's time that we do the soul search.
Well, Brad, what do you think as far as this deranged kid?
Yeah.
How much of this do you think has to do with some of the fringe and misinformation and all the stuff we're talking about here on radio, TV, whatever?
Well, you know what? We don't yet know, because we don't yet know what entirely he was thinking and what set him off. Obviously, this kid was unbelievably imbalanced. There are, if you look at his writings or his videos or whatever, you see a lot of threads that are very similar to things, you know, that guys like Glenn Beck talk about every day, that our currency is failing, that you must buy gold, and all of this stuff. That comes directly from the right. But, you know, we don't yet know. The fact of the matter, though, is, and I found it very interesting, after Sheriff Dubnyk made those remarks, the right was up in arms about it, calling this guy, you know, saying he was attacking the right and everything else. But what's interesting is, if you listen to those comments, he didn't mention anything about the right, did he? Or the left. Now, he has since elucidated a little bit more, and he has, you know, mentioned folks like Rush Limbaugh. But that was, I believe, just today or last night that he finally did. When he made those remarks on Saturday, he just said, you know, voices on radio and television. Why did the folks on the right get so up in arms about it if they didn't, if you will, have a bit of a guilty conscience, perhaps, about what it was that he was saying? I thought that was very revealing. And very revealing that every time one of these things happen, and for folks who think that this is the first time this has happened, this Tucson incident, well, they're either dreaming or they're living in right-wing talk radio land, because we have had one event after another like this where folks on the right, directly citing Fox News, Glenn Beck, and other folks on the right, have gone out and shot people up. So this is not the first time, and whether, you know, that language directly impacted Tucson yet, we don't know. But Lord knows, you know, does it matter? If he had, you know, been influenced by Glenn Beck and Sarah Palin and her gun sites map, you know, would this make a difference? Would folks on the right then say, oh, well, yeah, I guess maybe we ought to tone it down? I think the answer would be no, because we have had those incidents happen where folks have cited Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly and so on and so forth, and the right has still not done anything about it. So that's the tinderbox we now live in, I'm sorry to say.
That's the climate we live in. We're going to take a quick break here. What do you think about this? The responsibility of people behind the microphone. Cable TV, radio. It's the Alan Handelman Show. Thanks for locking us in. The responsibility of those behind the microphone. Also, because of the shooting this past weekend, people are still talking about. And it's funny, when we had the debate and when we were talking about this in the last day or so, when you had the sheriff bring up the responsibility of those on talk radio, Rush pretty much said that he's an embarrassment. And pretty much put him down. And this is what Diane Sawyer talked to the sheriff about yesterday, the fact that he's being mocked by some on talk radio.
There's a giant duel, a debate going on in the country right now, in part based on what you said about the vitriol in the country, the need to have some soul-searching in the country. And I don't know if you've heard about Rush Limbaugh. He said, so predictable, so childish, so immature, it's led to a number of people making abject fools of themselves. The sheriff has made a fool of himself. I don't know if he knows it yet or not. By accusing people that have nothing whatsoever to do with this sordid, unfortunate event as accomplices to murder, it's silly on its face.
Well, the kind of rhetoric that flows from people like Rush Limbaugh, in my judgment, he's irresponsible, uses partial information, sometimes wrong information, attacks people, angers them against government, angers them against elected officials, and that kind of behavior, in my opinion, is not without consequences, and I think he's irresponsible.
But I guess the question being asked is it right to link it to this horrible incident?
Well, that's my opinion. People can have their own opinions. The listeners, the viewers, can judge for themselves.
So what do you think? 866-482-1011 is our number. You can also reach me on Twitter. Just look for If It Rocks. And on Facebook, just look for my name, Alan Handelman, and send me those messages. And with us to talk about all this and a lot more and take your calls is Brad Friedman, who has been trying to keep integrity alive, especially when it comes to the media and our politicians. He's the man behind BradBlog.com. All right, Brad, good to have you back. Let's take a couple of calls here. 866-482-1011. Anthony is our first call of this segment. Line two. Good to have you on, Anthony.
Usual. I have two quick comments. First, I think it's bitterly ironic that the loudest screaming against the return of the Fairness Doctrine comes either from the employees of or supporters of the network that calls itself fair and balanced. To me, that's an incredible irony. The second thing is that several weeks ago you were asking why, if there are so many moderates in the country, do we never hear them calling these talk shows, these right-wing talk shows?
How many moderates? Yeah, that topic was, why do you not hear moderate voices, as my show aside, moderate voices on talk radio? And that was the question you're talking about. Go ahead.
Yeah, my personal experience is I've called and got through to those talk shows, but the screeners would not let me on. That's why you're not hearing them. I've been listening to talk shows since the 70s, and it wasn't until Rush that you ever heard a caller say, thanks for taking my call. If you got through, you got on, just like I did today. But moderate voices are being screened out so that the people that listen to those shows only hear people who agree with the moderator.
All right, Anthony, hold on. Let's get Brad's response. We'll come back to you. Go ahead, Brad.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They do. And, you know, when I go, I actually fill in for as a guest host on a number of nationally syndicated radio shows. I go out of my way. I say, hey, if you disagree with me, come on in. I'd like to have the discussion, the debate. And, Alan, I know that you do that, too.
I put them ahead of the line. So I put people who disagree with me ahead of the line.
Yeah, well, because I think it's more interesting. I think it makes good radio, and I think the country deserves discussion and debate. I think you'll not find a more ardent supporter of the First Amendment than me, and a supporter of, you know, democracy. And that means, you know, supporting folks I don't disagree with. I mean, hell, I've been for the last month and a half or so writing about and supporting and in some ways working with Joe Miller up in Alaska, the, you know, the far right wing Tea Party endorsed, Sarah Palin endorsed, Senate candidate, Republican Senate candidate who was running for the U.S. Senate up there, in that battle against Lisa Murkowski and so forth. I've been supporting him because he has been, you know, calling for a hand count. He had questions about that election. So I couldn't disagree with Joe Miller more on just about everything, frankly. But, you know, I believe that in the right of citizens to know how their elections go, the right to have real democracy in this country. So I will agree with anyone who wants to fight for democracy. That's not what this is about, or, you know, or squelching the First Amendment. That's not what this is about. This is about something else. This is about folks manipulating our airwaves, using our public airwaves to manipulate public opinion towards a particular political goal. And I think that has been very, very harmful to this nation. That is not what the, I don't believe, what the forefathers intended when they wanted to make sure that they could have free and open debate, because we do not have free and open debate on our corporately controlled airwaves, unfortunately.
All right. We unfortunately lost that call. I hope he can get back on. 866-482-1011, because his point...
You shut him out, didn't you, Alan? You didn't want to hear his...
No, they, they accidentally... I don't know what happened. But the point is, his point was about fair and balance. You know, I've always said if you are fair and balanced, you wouldn't have to constantly tell people you're fair and balanced. You know, it's just ironic that that's their cliche.
Well, that's been one of the interesting points is that, you know, I've heard a lot of people, and I think it's a pretty despicable point of view, oh, both sides do it equally. Well, again, no, they don't. And if they did, why did the right feel so desperate to defend themselves when the sheriff in Pima County just came out and said, you know, complained about the voices we're hearing on radio and TV? He didn't say right-wing radio or right-wing TV.
That's true. By the way, we do have Ken back on line four, Pete, if you want to engage him here. I know we're getting ready for a break. We got you back, Ken. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, or good evening, Alan. I'm glad to be on.
Wait a minute. Are you not the caller who was just on?
I am, but I never got on.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. You're not the caller we met. We met the caller that was accidentally disconnected. Put him on hold. I got you. 866-482-1011. Yeah, that's the wrong call, Katie. We're trying to find the guy we were just talking to who's actually on. All right, we'll take a break here anyway. We're talking about responsibility of those behind the microphone. This is inevitable. We knew this would come up. And, of course, now Rush and others, again, bringing up one of their favorite topics, and that is the fairness doctrine. So we're discussing all that with Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com. BradBlog.com, 866-482-1011. It's the Alan Handelman Show. Good to have you along. Good to have you back. It's the Alan Handelman Show. The ramifications of the shooting this past weekend, devastating and shocking as it is. Some of the predictable topics that have come up, gun control, now the fairness doctrine, and because of the, well, very strong comments from Clarence Dubnyk, the sheriff involved, a lot of people are debating the responsibility of those behind the microphone. And Rush Limbaugh, of course, kind of trying to take the offense on this, already is bringing up the fairness doctrine. Nobody is talking about the fairness doctrine as far as government officials. You don't have anybody trying to censor anybody. But what I think Clarence Dubnyk was talking about was basically just fairness. And people behind the mic have to think about what they were saying. So what do you think about this? 866-482-1011. 866-482-1011. With us, Brad Friedman. He is a journalist looking for integrity, not afraid to call anybody out on either side when there's misinformation out there. He's the man behind BradBlog.com. BradBlog.com. Quick clip summing up what the sheriff has been talking about.
Unbalanced people, how they are, how they respond to the vitriol that comes out of certain mouths about tearing down the government, the anger, the hatred, the bigotry that goes on in this country is getting to be outrageous.
866-482-1011. Brad, I'm not sure where we left off here, but we have a lot of people want to talk to you, take you on, and go ahead. Anything you wanted to finish up?
But not for the moment. We'll wait until see what the callers have to say.
All right, let's go to Kevin, line three, saying he's looking out for Rush Limbaugh here. Hey, Kevin, good to have you on.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I'm really not looking out for him because I think he's a boob, but with that being said, I think that, unfortunately, the sheriff has let his emotions get the best of him. I think in the position that he's in, he needs to go on the facts and not on his emotions. And he probably shouldn't even be making comments at all about that. That being said, if he really truly feels that Rush Limbaugh is responsible in some way, I know he did not call out Rush Limbaugh personally, but whoever he feels is involved, he should bring him up on charges.
Well, the way I take it, Kevin, and I'll have Brad respond and we'll come back to you, but the way I take it, he's talking about just the tone of things that people are saying on the radio overall are stirring people up with misinformation, aggravating, getting people so riled up, and those who are on the fringe or maybe have a shingle loose are susceptible. And he sees it in his business as sheriff. These people are flying off the handle with misinformation. Brad, how do you take what the sheriff's saying?
Well, yeah, I was wondering why the caller thinks that the sheriff shouldn't speak up about that. So I'll take his thoughts on that in a second. But you know, this guy is at the center of all that, you know, this rhetoric has wrought. He has to deal with this on a legal basis every day. And if you have any questions about what he was talking about and how bad things have become in Arizona, I might point you towards a website, Alto, A-L-T-O, AltoArizona.com. They've got a quote-unquote timeline of hate on their front page, going through all of the problems that Arizona has encountered, the death threats that have gone on to judges like Judge Rawl, who was killed last Saturday in the shootout, you know, death threats against Grijalva, and certainly Gabby Giffords, so, and much, much, much more. Take a look at that timeline and then tell me a guy who is at the center of it, who has to deal with this every day, shouldn't be speaking out about what it is that he and his office must contend with on a daily basis. It makes no sense to say that he shouldn't either have a right to talk about it or that, you know, he's not the perfect person to talk about it, frankly.
Here's a tweet from Pete. A says, why isn't the sheriff doing his job of investigating crime instead of acting like an amateur social commentator? I think he's doing both.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously. He's not acting like a social commentator. He's seeing what he sees in the trenches, real people, the things that come out of their mouth, the crimes they're involved in. I think he's got a pretty good take on it.
Yeah, it seems to me that he has every right to talk about it because he has to deal with it every day. So I'm not sure what this notion would be that he shouldn't be talking about it. And I know Kevin, the caller, if he's still there, I'd love his thoughts on it.
Where's Kevin? He dropped these cell phones they just dropped. Folks, when I go to a guest for a response, don't hang up. If you are hanging up, maybe you just dropped off because you're driving. But I don't want you to think it's over because I come back and let you get the last word. 866-482-1011. Here's another one we can clear up at Chuck on 5. He's saying it's wrong to censor anybody or have censorship, and nobody, including you, Brad, is talking about censorship. So, Chuck, don't worry about that, and you can clear 5. Let's go to Frank, who's talking about the technology, and this is interesting. Line 1, Frank, how are you?
Alan, to be right to the point, this sheriff, if he thinks that the vitriol in today's public debate is something new and unusual, needs to have a little remedial education. And let me give you some substance behind my statement. First of all, you have to go back to Thomas Jefferson in 1803 when he won that election. He was attacked viciously by his opponents as not being pious enough and being a churchgoer in the yellow journalism. Then I come 50 years forward to Andrew Jackson, who in the 1830s went through a banking crisis and a secession attempt by South Carolina and was viciously attacked by his opponents, and an assassination attempt occurred. And then lastly, you use Harry Truman in the 1950s, who survived an assassination attempt by Puerto Ricans. And then my fourth comment is the McCarthy era of the 1950s, in which Senator McCarthy used extreme hyperbole to viciously attack people in the public and the private sector. So this democratic process is a messy business, Alan, for you and your guest, and you both know this. And, you know, you have to be able to discriminate between hyperbole and substance. And now, your technology is new, relatively new, since the 30s. I ask, where are the editors? Now, Alan, you have a pretty even-handed show, and I must compliment you on this. But if Rush Limbaugh wants to blow hot air, I mean, the listeners have to discriminate. He's blowing hot air and blow him off.
Well, what you're saying is true, Frank. And I'm not saying, you know, people could always change the station. All that is true. And I think the majority of people do make that distinction. Even people who agree with Rush sometimes don't agree with him. But I think the comment that the sheriff is making, those who are deranged, who can't make those decisions, use these people, and there's a lot of people that go a step or two beyond Rush. There's a lot of people on the blogs who go, in the blogosphere, who go way over the board, and, you know, what Sarah Palin is doing and all those people are doing, all take its toll on those people who are a little bit off, and that's his concern. Brad, go ahead and respond. We'll come back to you, Frank. Don't hang up.
Yeah, you know, of course, there has always been heated rhetoric in politics, but we have never had the kind of penetration of these messages 24/7, you know, across the board, across the airwaves, radio, television, and again, particularly radio, because it has the greatest impact on this nation. The people you're talking about, Andrew Jackson, you know, whatever happened there, the message, the hateful messages that were against him were not heard 24/7 by the entirety of America. You might end up reading about some hateful attack at some point months later, you know, after the word got out across the country, but most folks did not. They do now. And when you've got guys on the radio, like Glenn Beck, talking day in, day out, saying, quite literally, and I'm quoting, the revolution is now. Our country is in danger. If people don't step up and take action, everything you know in this republic will be gone. When they hear that over and over and over, they would almost be unpatriotic to not take action and to do something to save the republic and everything it is that they know. You know, and it's not just folks who are, you know, unbalanced, as you suggested, Alan. And it might be a good time to play that clip that I sent you,
okay.
Because I've gone out and talked to a lot of these Tea Party folks, and they're good, you know, nice people. They are not unbalanced, but they are horribly misinformed, and they are out there, purposely so, and they are out there in what they feel is a war, and they feel that they must save this republic. And it's rather heartbreaking, frankly, because, as I say, many of them are good, decent folks, but they have just been told time and again one piece of disinformation after another to the point where they feel they must act. They must do something, you know, or their lives, their children's lives, their grandchildren's lives are going to disappear.
All right, we're going to go back to Frank for his 30-second comment and response, but I was listening to another talk show this morning, and I heard somebody calling in who had a semi-automatic near his pillow, and he said, well, when the government fails to keep intruders out of our country, it's going to be us with these semi-automatic guns that protect us from the communists that come into this country. And he really believed that if the government and military failed, it was going to be up to those people who had weapons to save this country. He really believed it.
Yeah,
really,
and if the government and its unbelievable military fails, I'm not sure that a couple of guys in their Glocks and semi-automatics are going to be able to do the job.
Frank, I'll give you 30 more seconds. Good question you brought up, Frank. Go ahead.
Well, I didn't have a question. I had a comment, but what your last comment sounded like Senator McCarthy. He was, you know, a very dangerous public figure.
Well, what comment was sounded like McCarthy?
I think you were talking about guns and communists about 2 minutes ago or something like that.
No, it was about 30 seconds ago. And what I said was a caller called in another talk show who said it was people like him who had a semi-automatic that is going to protect this country if the military can't prevent an invasion from communists. That's what I said. So got to be careful. Say, you know, repeat what I said. But Frank, nonetheless, you brought up a great comment. 866-482-1011. All right, we're going to play that clip from Brad Friedman, the former computer programmer who's just looking for integrity in the media. Tough subject. You know, you're talking about a business, and that's why so many of you have been listening to this show. We've talked about this. You know, I'm not one of the people, when we were talking about guns in the first hour, I don't want to take your guns away, but it was a legitimate question that was brought up by this sheriff. How do you, you know, how does a person with a shingle loose like this guy manage to get a semi-automatic? Now we're talking also, again, sparred by Clarence Dubnyk, who brings up the problem of people on radio and TV not being responsible for what they're saying and the ramifications on this country. 866-482-1011. You know, when you have somebody like the opponent, Gabriel Gifford's opponent, who said, and we talked about this yesterday on the show, who said somebody needs to get a fully automatic M16 and fire it to remove her from office, or Sarah Palin using the crosshairs on that poster. Some people say this is what enrages people. There's no evidence this guy was necessarily tied into Sarah Palin. I'm not saying that. But still, this is the debate we're having, and it's a good one. Brad, you were talking to some people. Tell us about this clip we're about to play. Go ahead.
I will, actually. Let me just make one really quick point. I know you're up against the clock, but I wrote an article yesterday called Violent Rhetoric Doesn't Kill People. People living in a world where they hear a lot of violent rhetoric kills people. And, in fact, I've got a graphic in there from circulating that Kennedy was wanted for treason just before he was shot in Dallas. I've got another graphic from today that's still up on the web. You can buy it. Liberal hunting license, no bag limit. And finally, I would just say that I saw someone tweet today, Andy Borowitz, actually a satirist, who said, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we lived in a world where it was as easy for someone who was imbalanced to get psychiatric care as it is for them to spend 20 cents at Walmart for a bullet. The clip you're about to hear, I went out and spoke back in September 2009 to a bunch of Tea Partiers. They were kicking off the Tea Party Express tour starting out here in Los Angeles, and I went out and interviewed some of them, made a short documentary film called Rise of the Teabags, and here's a clip from one of the folks who I talked to, very nice, who was holding a sign that said Barack Hussein Obama should resign, and I asked him why. And, well, we can talk about it after you give it a listen.
All right, stand by. It locked up there. We'll get it.
Nope.
Barack Hussein Obama, do America a favor and resign. Why should he resign?
Why shouldn't he? This guy's a socialist. He wants to take our freedom, take away our liberty.
But tell us all the freedoms that Barack Obama has taken away. Listen to this.
Go ahead, tell us. Okay, wait a minute,
all of these are the freedoms that Barack Obama has taken away and should resign, and here now some of those freedoms. Give it to him.
For one thing, he wants to take away our freedom of speech.
He does?
Absolutely. Instead of fighting in Afghanistan, he's over here fighting against FNC, Fox News Channel. So
how does he want to take away their freedom of speech? Go ahead, tell him how he's taken away their freedom of speech.
By turning them off. By just saying, you know what? We can't have free speech. We're going to turn you off. If it's not my way, it's a highway. But
Barack Obama has turned off FNC, Fox News?
No. But if he could, he would.
He's not taking away freedom of speech.
Well, he sure would love to. He would sure love to take away the freedom of speech.
Okay, so he hasn't taken away freedom of speech.
He has not. But
tell us all the freedoms that Barack Hussein Obama has taken away. Get a load of this. Go ahead, tell him all the freedoms.
Well, for one thing, he's taken over the car industry. If it was up to him, we'd be driving this little...
He's taken away the freedom for GM to declare to go out of business,
right,
is what he's
right,
done.
Right.
He's taken away the freedom for those workers to lose their job, basically, right?
That's right. And he's taken away the people, you know, that want to make a lot of money. It's like they want to tax the devil out of them. You know,
but he's lowered, actually, 85% of Americans' taxes, right?
Oh, yeah, right. Sure he has.
But he has, hasn't he?
I don't think so. Absolutely not. No.
If you made less than $250,000, he's lowered your taxes.
Yeah, right. That's what he says, but he's a liar.
But that's what he did do, though, didn't he?
No.
I mean, because I want to get a list. I want to get a list of all the freedoms that he's taken away. So the freedom of speech he hasn't done, and the tax thing, I don't think, yet, right?
All right.
But what other freedoms... Here's a list of the freedoms that Barack Hussein Obama has taken away.
If this man could take away all of our freedoms, I think he would take away our freedom to do anything and everything.
Thank you very much for your time and for speaking up.
Wow.
Now, you know, that guy... he was not alone, obviously. Pretty much that was the sentiment of everybody who I talked to that day, and I didn't cherry-pick these folks at all. I mean, you can look at the whole film. You can go to bradblog.com and search for Rise of the Teabags. You can also search for Rise of the Teabags at YouTube and take a look at the entire short film we made there. This, you know, was a very nice fellow. I don't believe he was unbalanced, but here he was in September of 2009 holding up a sign that said Obama should resign. And really couldn't come up with a reason in the world for it other than the things that he had been horribly, horribly disinformed about. Where did he get those ideas? That's, I think, the price that we are paying today, unfortunately.
I think that is a fair question. And, Brad, you stay with us. We're going to continue on this. 866-482-1011. Responsibility of those behind the microphone to be accurate, to give proper information, and not distort it with an agenda. I think that's what the sheriff is talking about here. Nobody other than our right-wing talk radio, as far as I know, is concerned with the fairness doctrine. I may be wrong on this. What do you think?